101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey there, welcome to Devil's Face with Kat
and Tintin.
Today is a very special, a very spooky version of Devil's Face. This is our Halloween episode.
I love Halloween.
Me too. We were going to talk about seasons, but then we were in the studio and we were like, I love Halloween. And the other one was like, I love Halloween too. So here we are.
Well, the funny thing is like the only good thing about, not the only good thing, there's a lot of good things about fall, but one of the main reasons why I care about fall is mostly because of Halloween and just the fact that I can wear like sweaters again from the summer. And like, again, obviously the fact that you're not sweating your like head off all day.
Exactly. And great. I completely was like, me too. So how this kind of relates to space in like a humanity sort of way is just like, it's important to us and it affects who we are, our personality, the way we view our world. There's a lot of good things going on in Halloween. You get to dress up and explore kind of a new way of living and something you wouldn't maybe normally wear. You get to just kind of do your thing, be bold.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of my best Halloween costume. I really did like the Halloween costume that I had in first year when I was a Roy Lichtenstein painting. I feel like that one was mostly makeup, but nonetheless, fun, good costume.
That's a good one. It really is. I think I love Roy Lichtenstein. Who doesn't?
True.
Great.
Pop art.
Great painter.
What was your best costume, Kat?
My best costume was also first year. I think it was when I was David Bowie. I wore this little like crop top, like silver little long sleeve shirt, and I did the like lightning, like Aladdin Sane makeup, and what else did I do? I just had this cute skirt and these like fearless heels and was just like owning it, and that was really like my peak Bowie love. But then it was kind of freaky because that was the year that David Bowie passed away. And so I was like so sad from that because he was like really important to like my musical taste. Mm. So a way of coping was like, at least I like had that chance to like dress up as him before he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah. So very like near and dear to the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this year you told me that you're going to dress up as Bjork, which is also iconic and amazing. And I'm so impressed.
Thank you so much. I mean, when you don't know what to dress up as Halloween, dress up as for Halloween, just wear like an eccentric, you know, musician's clothing, I guess, and be that person. It's a great resource because there's so many good ones.
True.
Yeah. And what were you thinking of being for Halloween?
My roommate and I are both big fans of RuPaul's Drag Race. We're going to go as Trixie Mattel. She's going to be Trixie Mattel, and I'm going to be Katya Zamolochikova.
Yes.
Iconic.
Yes.
Yes is correct. we've been, like, really digging into, like, making sure that our costume is as authentic as possible. Given that neither of us are drag queens, obviously, we want to do justice to the look, although, like, the amount of skill and, like, talent that goes into, like, crafting these makeup and, like, fashion kind of, like, outfits or whatever, it's, like, quite extensive. I also don't own that many shades of foundation or any of these.
Oh, my God. They use, like, 15.
Yeah, it's, like, a whole thing. And also, I don't own, like, a blonde wig. Not even just one, but sometimes, like, queens wear, like, three wigs. Or, like, they stack wigs so their hair looks bigger. I don't want to break the bank for this look, but I feel like if there's one way to do it, you got to go all out.
I love that, like, reveal when there's, like, two wigs under, like, two wigs on top of each other, and then they like take off one wig, and then there's another wig.
Roxy Andrews.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that's just my plans for Halloween.
I love it. It sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know when my love for Halloween really began, actually, because I feel like I wasn't actually like super into it. Because I feel like when I first started dressing up, my first Halloween, I think I was like 6, and I was a lion.
Aww.
I know, cute, right? But I remember being like, this is lame. I'm already too much of an adult to dress up for this.
At six.
And then I started liking it again. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always really liked the festivities of Halloween. I was never like super into dressing up. I would always kind of like fluctuate between like kind of liking it, but also being like a little bit embarrassed, you know, when you get to school and you're like, is my costume even really that good? Like, yeah. Do I just look weird?
Because you can never predict if other people are going to dress up or not.
Yeah. And also like if they're going to be like, oh, well, you just look stupid, you know?
True.
Which like, okay, I feel like no one really thinks that. On Halloween, I would never.
Well, I wonder if people on Halloween at UBC will actually dress up.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
For sure. I'm going to go a little more low-key. Like, I'm going to make a mask for my Bjork costume because you can't not.
True.
But I'm probably not going to wear the mask during, like, class or walking around.
Okay.
Yeah. So I always, like, believe in, like, the scale-down method of, like, Halloween at school, like you just kind of simplify your costume a bit, kind of make it a little bit more palatable, and then you're good.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but my elementary school always used to have a pumpkin patch, which was like so lit, like so lit. There'd be like a cake walking thing where like you like walk in a circle and they pick your number, and if it's your number you get a cake.
You get a cake?
But that complemented the cake making contest where like people designed cakes, like children designed cakes, so they're just like huge stacks of candy. Just like Tootsie Rolls on top of Tootsie Rolls and like just like little cookies sticking up, like little graves.
Oh my god.
You know, and like a little candy graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really good stuff.
That's so wholesome.
Yeah, it was really good. And they had little games all around. Like, it was a big deal.
Cute.
Yeah. So I think that's really where my love of Halloween stems from.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like you have to have a very, like, supportive school environment for you to actually get into Halloween.
Because,
like, I remember I went to a lot of elementary schools as a kid. Just because, like, I switched a bunch of schools. But anyway, I digress. Every single one that I went to, there was always, like, on Halloween, the 31st, there was always, like, a Halloween activity that took up, like, mostly, if not the entire day.
Yeah, and then, the rest of the day, you're, like, cutting ghosts out of, like, a sheet of paper. Like, so that's good. Your, like, activity for the day.
Yeah, and then you get, like, some candy and you get to go home. Like, what a chill-ass day.
Who wouldn't love it?
Yeah.
I guess people that don't like candy.
Yeah, but...
But, like, come on.
Come on. And we'll be back after a little break.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because, of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism. As opposed to someone who buys, let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Transformed into a gate where I receive
With Tintin and Kat
on CITR 101.9 FM.
Woohoo! We're going to be continuing our discussion on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of Halloween, I think about scary movies, scary things.
I think about that too, and I also think about like special episodes of things that are especially scary and a little creepy. Which I love.
Oh, like the Halloween special, like the Christmas special, the...
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Christmas episode's, like, evil cousin.
The dark side.
The dark side of Christmas specials. One that I really love is the Treehouse of Horror series, which is what The Simpsons does every year. I mean, nowadays, like, The Simpsons isn't that good, obviously, but back in the day...
Wow,
the Treehouses of Horror were lit. They were always my favorite because they were, like, extra edgy and, like, really, like, compelling and, like, extra, like, fantasy-oriented. I think that's what I really like about Halloween is the, like, creepy fantasy element because, like, creators really go out of their normal way of doing things and spice it up, get a little more creative.
Yeah, true. I really liked like the wholesome like Halloween specials. Like obviously the scary movies are like essential. Like that's just a given. But like on TV, like I'm not ready for big scary things to happen like on public television, public access TV. So I really like The Great Pumpkin, like the Charlie Brown thing.
Aww.
So cute, so pure.
I was never into it, but I think it's very cute and I like respect that a lot.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for Charlie Brown. Or, like, the guy who created it.
Oh,
good
yeah.
guy.
Charles Schultz.
Charles Schultz. Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I have to look it up.
You just know.
Who cares?
But, yeah. And then, like, the scary stuff that I was really into. I feel like as a kid, I was easily spooked. So I missed out on a lot of, like, formative, like, horror film, like, moments. But
I mean, I feel like most kids are.
Yeah, but, like, there's some kids that were like, oh, like, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm going to watch, like, The Grudge, like, whatever, because I'm cool and like I'm not afraid of anything, but I was like afraid of stuff.
Like, what time period do you think was too early to watch The Grudge? Or like, when is it okay to watch The Grudge?
I feel like, honestly, I know people who watched it when they were like in junior high / like elementary school.
Oh my God.
And that's like way too early. You don't understand like half of the like reasons why it's scary, I feel like, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The first, like, time I watched The Grudge, I think I was 16. Like, I honestly felt like it took me a while to, like, actually be like, okay, like, I'm ready to, like, dive into this.
I was a freshman when I watched The Ring, which was probably the first, like, scary movie that I watched. And I was with a bunch of my friends, and it was so scary. It was really freaky. The imagery is just, like, so... I remember being, like, so tantalized by it because I was like, why is this so scary to me? Why are these images so freaky? And I found out that a lot of the images were based on this painter, Andrew Wyeth, oh. who paints these like really beautiful but kind of like creepy and like lonely sort of looking scenes. Like, here's some pictures. See?
Oh, really desolate looking.
Yeah. Desolate yeah. is a good way to put it, and really just like washed out tones and mm-hmm. just like sad and creepy.
Yeah. It's very like, I don't know, like it reminds me of the, what is it, American Gothic style of paint. Like, do you mm-hmm. know what I'm talking about?
It like looks that, like those colors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He did Christina's World, which is the woman in the pink dress who's like on the field and she's kind of like turning and looking at the house that's far away, which is his like most famous work.
Yeah.
And it's just like so sad.
Ominous.
Just really sad.
For sure.
Speaking of scary pictures, do you remember that book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No, but that sounds scary.
Oh my God.
Oh,
okay. The whole part that was scary were the illustrations.
Okay. Yeah, I was easily spooked by like just scary book. Oh God, that's so gross.
Yeah, it's really freaky.
Bye. No.
Yeah, and imagine being like a kid and like the stories themselves weren't that scary.
Yeah.
But like the images, like look at this.
Yeah. Okay.
I encourage you to look up Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I'm sure it'll be in the like recommended like search because it's so like prolifically horrifying. Ooh. I remember one story. Okay. I'm going to tell this ghost story
okay.
a bit, but very briefly and very quickly. One of the stories was about this woman who thought she had like a boil or something on her face, just like kind of like a large mass. Oh, it's so gross. This is like content warning for people who don't like bugs. It's okay. really, I'm sorry to put you through this, Tim, but I just need you to share what I'm going through.
Okay,
like,
I'm ready.
Remembering
I'm
the
ready.
Story that I was told. But yeah, if you don't like bugs, skip ahead like a minute and I should be done. But basically, she was in the bath and the boil popped, and it was spiders. Isn't that a nightmare? Isn't that the worst thing you've ever heard in your life? I'm so sorry to listeners, but like...
Oh my God.
That's what that one image is.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay, got it.
We're not making it big because it's so freaky. Okay, I'm gonna exit out right now. We're done
you.
With that. We're not talking about bugs anymore.
Do you remember like those stories that would go around in like elementary school that was like Bloody Mary and like just I remember being so afraid of Bloody Mary.
Me too.
I was so afraid. I thought she was gonna like get me, even though like I don't know, like what is the origin story of Bloody Mary? I have no idea.
Yeah, I remember like I almost did it in the bathroom at school because I was like, I just want to do it. And it was like daytime and I was like, I'm fine. But then I was about to do it. I was like, I can't do this. I can't like handle what would happen if she came for me.
Mm-hmm. I think like what was so creepy about it was like the fact that there's like one, like mirrors, scary.
Yeah, mirrors are scary.
I can't explain why, but they're terrifying somehow. The ritual part where it's like you have to like do this and like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's different amongst like different like schoolyards.
You have to, like, turn around, right?
Yeah, you turn around, you like have like a candle or something or whatever, and then like you say like Bloody Mary, but yeah, like the ritualistic part is very like creepy because it's like very like performative, I think, and that's why like people might be like uncomfortable with that.
Also, you're like a little disoriented,
mm-hmm, definitely,
because you're like turning around.
Yeah,
I think the reason why mirrors are so scary is because like you see your like background, like what's behind you, but you can't really do anything about it. You know?
True. It's like you're actually aware of the things that are going on that you can't see.
It's like behind you, but you are looking forward.
Yeah.
And like any action you do, you have to like look forward. And if you like turn around, then you lose that like insight that the mirror gives you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And also like I feel like so many scary movies have made use of the trope of like someone looking in the mirror and then there's like something hiding in one of the shadows that you see in the mirror.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So that just was not good for me and my fears.
Not a good time.
No.
But, like, contemporary scary movies, I feel like the things that scare me most now that I'm, like, an adult are just, like, thrillers, like, things, like, psychological kind of spooky things.
Yeah.
less, like, supernatural, like, this is a ghost. It's more like, oh, like, you're your own like worst nightmare, like the devil's inside of you,
and like humans are like horrible,
yeah
to no bounds.
Mm-hmm. My favorite scary movie is still Black Swan. I don't know, some people call it a horror film, but it's definitely a thriller. Kat, you've never seen it, right?
I've never seen it, but I want to see it. I support it.
Yeah, it's super good. It was inspired by a film called Perfect Blue, which was directed by Satoshi Kon. It's a Japanese, like, animated film. And it's, I would argue, like, scarier. Just because, like, again, the medium of, like, animation, I guess you can, like, really create, like, a very unique, like, world that is very eerie. I don't know, like, if some people can't really get into, like, animated films because, like, they don't make a lot of sense because they're not, like, real life and there's not, like, real actors. And I don't understand why people feel that way because, like, I can really just, like, get into it. But
yeah, it frustrates me because, like, animation totally opens up the bounds of what can be explored.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, but those two are very spooky movies. If you want to have some spooky Halloween times, Perfect Blue, very scary. It's about this girl that is, like, in a pop group, like, kind of like a girl, what is it, a girl pop band, something like
a girl band.
A girl band, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, the best one, so she, like, starts her own, like, solo career, and she gets, like, this guy that stalks her, and he kind of, like, she just, like, sees him everywhere, and she gets, like, super paranoid, and it's all in her head, and I don't want to, like, spoil it or say anything too graphic, but she very much harms her mental well-being in the process, and it's very intense.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor girl.
Poor girl. Poor pop star girl.
I'm definitely going to check that out. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Sounds scary. And I think I'm ready. I'm matured.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really want to watch Black Swan with you for the first time because I love Swan so much.
We should.
Okay, let's do it.
Maybe we'll, like, record my reactions of me being Black Swan. Ah!
An exclusive look. But what about you? What's your favorite scary movie?
So one of my favorite, like, psychological thrillers, again, like, I'm not big on, like, scary jump scare movies, but I love, like, psychological thrillers. I had one totally planned, but literally what just came to me is Get Out.
So I haven't seen that one.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Okay, because I know it's really, like, good. A commentary on, like, race in America, too. So it's, like one, it's scary, and two, it's, like, a social commentary. It's, like, wow.
It's so good. I thought it was going to be a lot funnier than it was because it was made by Jordan Peele, who's, like, from the comedy group Key & Peele.
Oh,
I don't, okay. And he also, like, writes a lot for different things. He's really funny, but this movie, like, is not really that funny, but it's just, like, amazing. But that wasn't what I was originally going to say. I was going to say Rosemary's Baby. Which I'm so torn on because it's such a great movie showing how constrained women in the 60s were. Like, they didn't have a lot of control over their body or their lives. Like, they were just, in general, by many different societal factors, like, controlled. And I'm sure the book is really good. I haven't read it. The only thing I hate about Rosemary's Baby is that it was made by Roman Polanski, who's garbage.
Yeah, danger.
He's garbage, but Rosemary's Baby is so good. And Mia Farrow does such an incredible job. Mm. She's an amazing actress in it. And the film is just, like, it just, like, very clearly shows how controlled she is and that she just, like, has no space to, like, do what she wants to do. She has no autonomy.
This came to mind because I watched this movie for the first time over the summer, but another scary movie that, it's not even scary, I'm not even sure, but have you seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
I've heard of it, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so my roommate told me about this movie for the first time, and like, it's a classic, so like, I'm sure everyone has seen it, and I'm like just incredibly late to this game, but it's like got Joan Crawford in it and Betty Davis, and it's like...
I heard a like NPR podcast about it.
Okay. Yeah, it's so iconic. Like, they honestly don't make movies like this because like the whole time I had my hand like over my eyes and like my hand like over my mouth because I was like gasping. Like, I don't gasp in movies. But it was so good. Yeah.
I really want to see that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we have all these like movies that we can now watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And viewer listeners, mm-hmm. check them out too.
Yeah. I mean, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane is also just like, it's just the twist at the end. Oh, there's a twist. Sorry. That's even a spoiler, but there's a twist. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll be back in a couple of minutes on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wait, I'm going to do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we... You're not even going to last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France, Montreal. What the? I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain okay, just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a fucking elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR Production Department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM, and this is our Halloween special.
Yeah, Halloween. Something that I feel like is particularly Halloween-y, I love that word also, is just witches and witchcraft.
Yeah.
I feel like it's super relevant and pervasive, despite the fact that witches aren't really like a thing, like there's no more Salem witch trials, but just like the idea of witches and like the fact that so many people had to, you know, be like unfairly executed for being a witch is just a very like, it's a very, like a lot of those people were like martyrs for like feminist movements, I feel like, to a certain extent.
I think witchcraft and feminism are very, there's like a lot of overlap in many respects.
Yeah, totally.
And especially like the like persecution of witches was really linked to like misogyny, I think, as well as like general fear of like other cultures that weren't like Christian or whatever. And like suddenly there's this like other spiritual idea other than like Christianity. Mm-hmm. And then pilgrims were like, we can't have that.
Totally. It was perpetrated mostly by like a Puritan colony in like Massachusetts, I think. I think that's what Salem actually was a Puritan colony.
I thought it was in Oregon.
Oh, really? I thought it was, because it was in the original 13 colonies. Oregon was not an
original colony. True.
Look at me. I'm taking an American history course, so I feel like I'm like, oh yeah, like Virginia, that's the guy, that's the one. history. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but supposedly their like rye had some weird fungus growing that was making them insane.
So did it make like the people who were falsely accusing the women of being witches like insane, or did it make the women insane and it made them behave as though they were like, or maybe it was a combination of both?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I feel like it would be the entire city had the sort of fungal infection, but maybe it was just the people. I don't know quite the details, but that was another factor of this very weird and tragic incident.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's contemporary witches.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I feel like witchcraft nowadays is very applicable because it's so, like, ritual-based. Like, I've been, like, sort of interested in witchcraft and kind of a, like, spectator-style engagement. Like, I'm not super practicing or whatever, but I think it's useful in that it like provides rituals that we don't really have like needs for anymore. Like nowadays, instead of like sending someone like a letter, you like text them, which is like, not to be like, phones ruin everything, this is the worst generation, but like it lacks like a ritual of like sitting down and like really thinking about what you want to say to this person. So I think that having rituals to like meditate and think about your purpose and like where you want to be, I think that's really useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like as I get older, I actually realize like how valuable just like having rituals and like taking these steps and like doing them in a particular order actually, not only like, not to say that it necessarily like improves my mental health, but it does like give me something to like ground myself in, because like there is something very valuable in just like having things written out and like you know what's going to be next, and it's very like soothing.
Mm-hmm. It also feels good to like complete a ritual, and it feels so tangible.
Yeah,
like it really feels like you're creating something and then you're putting it away, sort of thing. So you just like have a space to like express these things and have some time to think about things that isn't really afforded when you're constantly looking at your phone, i.e. me.
But yeah, witches. I wonder if... okay, so I'm sure that there's, like, spells that, like, contemporary modern-day witches, again, this is all speculation, like, can perform. I wonder, like, where they get this information from, or, like, who passes what down, and, like, how this, like, comes to be.
I watched a Vice video about Romanian witches.
Oh.
And it's a very thriving thing. There are still plenty of witches. The witch that was kind of featured in this video, she, like, people paid her to, like, put spells on people and, like, to remove curses and things. And basically what a lot of, I mean, a lot of it is passed down from, like, head witch to head witch, and also by just, like, apprenticing with witches. But also, I feel like so many of the, like, rituals are based in, like, a bit of truth. So, like, if you're feeling really stressed out and, like, a ritual is, like, to, like, smell lavender, then, like, that's going to help you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it seems like just naturopathic solutions to problems.
Yeah, and that being said, I know there's a lot of people that, like, exploit people that are looking for natural solutions for their problems. There's, like, a lot of wrong people that take advantage of, like, homeopathy and people that, like, are looking for alternative methods. But just because that exists doesn't mean that there isn't at least, like, some value in these kind of more, like, earthy ways of fixing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A return to the basics, Mother Nature, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Yeah.
But also inherent to Halloween, there are many things to discuss, one of which being ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there.
There's a lot to unpack in ghosts. So, Kat, do you believe in ghosts?
I'm going to say no.
Wow.
It just seems too convenient to be like, oh, yeah, and then, like, if you don't feel fulfilled, you stay on this earth until you're fulfilled. I'm just very critical of this, you know.
True.
You know.
Yeah, it is convenient, and also, like, sometimes people just don't get closure. And, like, I don't think that there's, like, a superpower, like, a higher power that will necessarily allow you to do that.
I think that light also plays very peculiar tricks on us.
Yeah, that's true.
I've had multiple friends that have, like, sworn by, like, ghost sightings and even, like, friends' moms. And I don't know. They're always at, like, odd hours of the night where you're already feeling really, like, on edge. I just don't trust it.
A lot of it does have to do with the environment. I guess, like, but the thing is I don't want to invalidate my friends, like, when they're like, I saw a ghost. I'm like,
true.
I'm, like, gaslighting them into, like, thinking that they didn't see a ghost. My friend recently purchased a piano, and it was, like, secondhand on Craigslist, and it was kind of spooky how they got it, because it was free on Craigslist. And the guy was like, I don't want this piano anymore. Like, I just, like, I don't have the space for it. Like, just get it out. And, like, they didn't question it. They just, like, got a truck. Like, they borrowed a truck from their friend, and they, like, picked it up and brought it home. But now, apparently, their apartment, which is generally always too hot, has recently been too cold. And the source of the cold is allegedly the piano. And I've never been to their apartment, or, like, at least with the piano in it, but I don't know.
Have you ever seen the Japanese horror movie House?
Hausu? No, we were going to watch it, remember?
Yeah, but I watched it.
Oh, my God. And what happened?
There's a piano that eats a girl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
awful.
It has teeth, so I think that that's what that girl bought.
Gosh, okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully she doesn't get eaten by her piano.
But anyway, I want to get back to the question at hand.
Okay.
Tintin.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I watched a lot of Mystery Hunters as a kid. Did you watch Mystery Hunters as a kid?
Yes.
Okay. So I feel like just having that in, like, my formative developmental stage in life, I was very much like, there can be nothing else that could possibly explain this. And because, like, the conclusion that the people jump to in the show, again, like, the kids who host it are, like, 13, are, like, ghost.
It's a ghost.
It's a ghost. So, I mean, I want to, like, my rational, like, 20-year-old self is, like, obviously not. Obviously, that's just it. But, like, some part of me is comforted by the idea of ghosts. Just like how some people are comforted by, like, the idea of an afterlife or, like, heaven and or, like, reincarnation. I don't know how, like, this is not a spirituality episode, but, like, I don't know how I feel about that. But I do know that as a kid, I did believe in ghosts, and it's tempting for me to go back into that mindset sometimes because it's just, like, it's spooky, but, like, ghosts can be friendly. They're not always out to, like, get you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. A lot of Halloween, like, figures are so spiritual.
Yeah.
Like, witches, ghosts, maybe those are the only two. But
I was like, skeletons.
Not Dracula, not Frankenstein. But, I mean, you contemplate death a bit, I guess. It's a very mainstream, like, platform to think about death.
Totally. That's so true. Because I feel like death is a very, like, harrowing, like, actually coming to terms with it is, like, difficult.
Yeah.
But, and I, like, have not gotten there, obviously, but, like, as a kid, it's a very, like, accessible point to be like, oh, like, you're dead, so now you're a ghost.
Yeah.
It's, like, very, like, oh, like, duh, and then duh, like, one, and then the second step. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I think that's another reason why I liked, like, Halloween episodes of things. Like, I liked just seeing, like, cartoons sort of, like, ponder, especially in, like, Treehouse of Horror, which is The Simpsons, is, like, they could be a little more violent and, like, kind of think about, like, okay, what happens when this, like, character is killed off, you know, and have to actually contemplate what happens with death.
Yeah, it's, like, pretty existential for, like, like an elementary school kid.
Yeah, I mean, what can I say?
But, like, you don't really think about it in that way as a kid. You're just like, oh, yeah, like...
That's true. I feel like you kind of understand, like, a simplified version of it. Like, you kind of are like, oh, you die, and then that's it. And it's almost, like, so straightforward that it's like, yeah, like, that's it.
But part of that is because you're a kid and you're so far away from, like, a natural death that you're like, well, like, obviously, and, like, it's not a big deal.
Obviously, you die. Everyone's so dumb. It's easy. Get over it.
We've been through this. Yeah, but I guess, like, when you get older, it gets scarier because then you're like... Who's gonna manage my social media account?
Who's gonna make sure I get, like, all the great eulogies on my Facebook?
Will people come to my funeral? Will people care about me?
Oh, jeez.
Who's gonna tweet at my funeral?
Who's gonna DJ my funeral?
Oh, my God. I remember making a lot of these, like, really, like, morbid jokes in, like, high school where it's, like, at my funeral, like, play this, like, stupid song or whatever. Like, put this on my tombstone, and it's, like, some shitty meme or something. Yeah, should stop joking about death. Maybe that's, like, a good thing, though, because you kind of, like, normalize it.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes friends say, though, like, oh, my God, like, I want to die or, like, kill me or something, and I hate it because I'm like, you're my friend.
No.
Don't say these things.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But I think, like, put it on my tombstone. That's, like, fair. That's, like, arrangements for death that, like, need to be made.
Mm.
So, you know, might be fair game.
Yeah, I guess. I mean... I haven't thought that hard about what's going to be on my tombstone, but maybe one day I'll actually have, like, a good, like I almost said set list. Yeah.
That'd be sick. What if you had, like, a QR reader?
Oh, my God. The future, like, oh, my God, millennials, when they pass away, it'll probably be, like, this
oh
is...
Oh, my God, just, like, my Instagram feed.
Oh, my
looking
God.
Fire.
Your Instagram feed will, like, be, like, the perfect, like, arrangement of colors and, like... Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're, like...
Totally
you,
aesthetic.
On your will, it'll be, like, make sure that you delete these posts, any posts that don't fit with my theme.
Yeah. True.
And a QR code that, like, links you to, like, this video that plays of, like...
Oh, my God, we're never gonna die. Death doesn't
memory.
Exist. We've halted it, thanks to social media.
True. There's, like, a lot of, like, creepy things going on with, like, death. Like, creepy to me because it seems so new, but, like, you've heard about people who are, like, yeah, like, when I get old, I'm just gonna, like, freeze my body and then, like, unfreeze it.
Like... Don't do that. Like, that's such a waste of resources. Just, like, accept it.
Accept it.
That's how I feel. I really, there's, like, a lot of startups that are, like, to bury yourself, you wear this, like, compostable suit.
Oh my God.
And you literally just go in the ground and, like, compost. And, like, I kind of love that.
Yeah.
Like, I would be down for that. Because, like, why do you need, like, a box and a space in the ground when you're dead?
I wonder if there's, like, I wonder if this is even, like, an issue that's going on in the world. It probably is, but, like, the amount of space that's, like, available.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of graveyards getting too full.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Especially because, like, they're not going anywhere.
Well, you know? I mean, yeah, definitely not. But it's, yeah, it's very different. I think, like, getting cremated is a really, like, new solution, I guess, to that kind of thing. Because, like, there's not enough space. But... Yeah,
also,
what a grim thing to talk about.
Cremation can, like, potentially, like, it's, like, deadly to inhale and stuff.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Bad
well,
for the environment.
I'm sure it's terrible for the environment, yeah. Like, you're burning.
Your burnt ashes of your body. Anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Very dim. Very grim.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Halloween episode, so.
Yeah, you got to get spooked. You got to get ready for
you gotta get
some
spooked.
Scary stuff to happen.
Yeah. So, let's talk about fear, now that we're kind of on the subject of that.
Oh, fear.
I guess, when you were a kid, we'll start it off easy, what were you scared of?
Honestly, as a kid, I was so afraid of death.
Like, oh my God, we go back.
No, I know, but, like, as a kid, that was, like, my number one. I was, like, I don't even know why. It was just, like, such a, like, deeply instilled thing where it's, like, you're alive now, but wait, like, 80 or 90 more years, and, like, we don't know what's going to happen. That seems really soon.
Oh, my God.
But then I was also afraid of heights. very...
Oh my God, I love how it's like the most practical, like I was afraid of death, as everyone is. Also, like heights were not ideal.
Also, like heights weren't the best for me. But it was funny because like I was never someone that was afraid of like heights because like I thought I was going to fall off or anything like that. I was afraid of heights because I thought that like somewhere in like the like crazy twisted mind, I would like try and like challenge myself to like it doesn't look that high up. Like maybe I'll just like jump off.
Oh my God. Cause I've had thoughts kind of like that. Like I wonder like what would happen.
Like yeah, just like what would happen. Like
also
what
like
would happen?
Also like oh like this like edge isn't like super like on like I could fall off.
There's
I physically could fall off of this.
Yeah, just like the fact that there's like that realm of possibility is like was scary to me. And not even like because I was so, again, I was afraid of death, so I would never do that. But like just like the possibility. Yeah, that was kind of freaky to me. Was never afraid of bugs or spiders. But I saw a really big spider the other day. And I think it kind of like reinstilled that like 20 years old now I'm kind of afraid of spiders. It was like the size of like my hand because I live in the forest. Yeah. So that was unfortunate. Yeah, contemporary fears. I don't know, like never reaching self-actualization.
No.
Another like
so real.
More existential, but you know.
Yeah.
When you yourself got?
When I was a kid, I was very like, so I had this like dark hallway, which is like, it got pitch dark and I'd always have to walk through it to like get to my room in my house. And sometimes I'd have my parents walk me because I was young and I was like, I can't do this. And I'd have these like visions of like skeletons like coming at us or something, which like makes no sense. My mom would always like try to outsmart me so I would get over it. So she'd be like, if it was just a bunch of skeletons, they just fall apart. And in the daytime, I was like, oh yeah, like that makes logical sense. But then you get in the hallway and you're like, ah, like I don't care about logic. Like I'm scared.
Yeah.
I also like would sometimes imagine like one of my parents turning into like a werewolf while they were walking with me once we got into the dark.
What a specific fear.
Okay. Like it sounds so like cliche, but it's literally just that hallway like messing with me. It like ruined me.
Sounds like a really interesting space to be in.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Interesting is the right word.
Yeah.
I was really afraid of this basement in my house because, like, when we first moved to Canada, we lived in, like, this bungalow kind of thing, and then there was, like, our basement that was, like, it wasn't finished. It was, like, really, like, gross, and, like, there was, like, piping and, like, all this, like, crazy stuff.
Oh, no.
And my dad used to be, like, Tintin, like, if you're bad, I'll put you in the basement.
No!
Like, obviously, okay, this makes my dad sound like a terrible person, but he's obviously got a really weird sense of humor.
No, I get that, but, like, basements are just, like, step one of, like, a scary movie. Don't go in the basement.
Yeah, totally.
So it's, like, almost, like, being reinforced by society.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me so sad.
Exactly. And, like, I honestly cannot think of a time that I was actually in that basement, but I was always like, there's always this door, and like it would, there was a light at the top, but there was like, it was really hard to get to the light, like that would actually light the basement, so like you never just wanted to go past the like light that you could see. Scary. Yeah, classic scary basement story.
That's scary.
Yeah,
that's very scary. That's very valid.
Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I like pretty much live in a basement. Like it's fine. Basements don't scare me anymore.
It comes full circle.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a contemporary, like, I've persevered through my fears. Now I'm living with my fears in a healthy, good way.
I used to be scared of bugs. Now I'm a bit less scared of them, but they just make me a bit uneasy.
No one likes bugs. I mean, entomologists like bugs.
They like bugs a lot.
But, yeah, I don't know a single person that would be like, yeah, like, there's just, like, a centipede, like, crawling around me. Like, that's fine.
One time I found a centipede in my house.
No.
I died. I was like, we need to move. Like, we need to get out of here.
Like, in California?
In California.
Okay, I was going to say,
in my house. Not here.
In Canada? I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm moving out of this province.
The centipedes can have it.
Mm-hmm. I think what would be interesting is if we calculated the, like, spider like length width or like girth to like body like and like to see like at what point do people begin to be afraid of spiders, because like I don't know a single person that's like really afraid of like tiny little like skinny spiders. Mm-hmm. But then like once the legs get thick, it's like okay, like
yeah, thick,
You got something going on there, and I don't like it.
I don't want it.
I don't want it. I'm not buying it.
I'm returning it. I'd like to speak to your manager.
Yeah, like spiders are canceled, basically.
Yeah, they're over.
Yeah, so, wow. I didn't think we were going to talk about spiders, but...
But here they are.
Here we are.
All right. We've got a song from Tanya Tagak called Aja, I think. But, yeah, stay tuned on Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM.
Woohoo!
Ready to bring your team to the top? This is your chance. CITR is looking for the best new bands in Vancouver for our 34th annual Shindig. We will consider literally every genre. We're not kidding. Past participants of this legendary event include Japan Droids, 3 Inches of Blood, The Pack AD, Mystery Machine, and The Organ. Winners of Shindig receive studio time, mastered tracks, and a feature in Discorder magazine, among other sweet stuff like merchandise production and showcase opportunities. The deadline for submissions is September 1st. For more information, visit CITR.ca.
Hi, this is Double Space on CITR 101.9 FM. Welcome back to our Halloween special.
Yes, today so far we've talked about Halloween films,
mm-hmm.
good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about our fears.
Mm-hmm. We talked about costumes.
Oh, costumes, of course. Mm-hmm. And we talked about ghosts and witches.
We didn't really talk about candy, I guess, which was a big, I mean, it's a big part of it when you're a kid, but I mean, not so much relevant when you're like an adult.
Yeah. Also, candy's like not great for you, although I still love candy.
It's so good.
I want to grow out of it so badly.
I've been eating less sugar. especially compared to like when I was a kid, and like when I was like last summer, like didn't eat any added sugar, but I just really like candy. It's just so good.
Yeah.
And but I mean, I think that's really our stance on candy.
Yeah, it's, I think, as most people think, good in moderation.
How do you feel about candy corn?
I love candy corn.
I love candy corn too. That's it.
That's it. That's the end
of the
show.
That's the conclusion.
Cool. Candy corn's the best. Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
See you later.